Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
So glad that y'all are here today, and if you're a guest with us today, we're glad that you're here and that you've chosen to get out in the weather. There's something happening outside. I think it's called rain, and we're so glad for that. We're so thankful for that. And as somebody pointed out, it's a nice slow rain. It's not all at once, so we're so thankful. And most importantly, though, we're thankful for Jesus who quenches us with His grace and His mercy. Today, we're starting a new sermon series called Same God, talking about God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and we're going to do that for several weeks. Also, still in our kickoff campaign for the Say Yes campaign that's going on out in the hallway out here in our congregation, just our time of year to talk about all the areas of ministry that need volunteers, that need you. Not every Sunday. Some of them are just one Sunday a month. Some of them are one Sunday a year. There's all sorts of things out there. We don't function without you. And so if you enjoy the ministries that you get to partake in, that's because there's a volunteer making that happen for you. And so we'd love for you to pay that forward and be a part of that. And so see Ashley, you'll hear from her in a minute, but she'll be out by that after church as well. I want to pray for us and just give God the glory for this day and what He has in store for us. Lord, thank You that we get to be in Your presence. Lord, that as a family of faith right here, whether we're online or in this room, Lord, we are connected by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would move among us. Lord, that we would feel and know Your presence. Lord, that You, Lord, that the truth of who You are creates the lives that we have right here in this very moment. So, Lord, move us forward, propel us into the world to reflect who You are, and, Lord, to show the world Your truth, Your grace, and Your mercy. We love You and we thank You, all in the name of Christ, all the people said, amen. I know for all of our lives in this room, there are places that You've been working and moving, and Lord, sometimes we just don't see them. It's true for me. Lord, I just pray that You would show us those places, even past, present, show us where You're going to be moving in the future, Lord, so we can follow You, so we can come alongside of You in ministry, and to just to see how You're revealing Yourself. Lord, to show the world who You are through all of us. Lord, I know, my goodness, I know there are heavy things on people's hearts today. I've heard them this week, prayed with them this week. Lord, there are life transitions going on in different ways. Lord, we're back to school in different routines. New teachers, new students. Lord, we have just all the things. Father, we have health issues. We've got money problems. Choices that need to be made. Relationships that need healing and mending. Gosh, the list just goes on and on and on. So, Lord, I pray right now for each and every one of those situations in all of our lives. If you're watching online, this prayer is for you as well. Whatever it is that's going on, Lord, we just need to lift that up to Him. Just hand it over to Him. Because for us, we can't handle these things by ourselves. We need Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, You do what You're going to do in our lives. Lord, let us see You working and moving. Let us see Your glory. Let us see Your goodness. Let us see Your faithfulness to us, even when we are unfaithful. Lord, I make my prayer in the powerful name of Jesus, the matchless name, the name that is above all names. It's in His name we pray, Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Be an opportunity for you to give online today if you would like to do that. If you're a guest with us, don't feel obligated. But as I always say, if you're a follower of Christ, You know what you're called to do in ministry and in giving and in volunteering. You just do whatever that might be. You can put your money in baskets around the room, or you can give it online. Lord, I just pray your blessing upon the gifts today. And Lord, and that you would urge us, Lord, that you would move us to give as you know that we need to. Lord, as you know, your kingdom needs it. And Lord, that we would be faithful in that. And Lord, even when it's hard for us, Lord, I pray that you would give us a joy in the midst of that giving. Lord, and use it to multiply your kingdom. Lord, use it to show others your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
To follow up giving before we dismiss to Grace Kids, we have our kids' mission project tonight. We'll be at Co-op, which is on 19th Street, kind of over by Lubbock High. We'll be serving the Sunday night meal. It is a kids' mission project, but anybody is welcome to come serve with us of any age. We're going to start preparing the food at 4:15. No kid is too young to do this, and no adult is too old. We can find a job for anyone who wants to come join us, so we'll be at Co-op at 4:15. If you have any questions about that, holler at me, but we're serving sandwiches, salad, cookies, drinks, so anyone who wants to come help. Additionally, I'll be out in the hallway after church, so if you want to talk to me about it there, I'll also be helping anybody answering any questions about the Say Yes wall out there as well. And with all that said, kiddos, we will head to Grace Kids. If you are 4 years old up to fifth or so grade and you want to join us, please come on through there. And if you are younger than four, you can go right through that door there, and that's where our nursery care is.
Thanks to Ashley in Dallas last week. Did a great, fantastic job while I was out. I'm always so glad to know that I don't have to be here, and things probably run better when I'm not here. Thanks, Ashley. And at least I didn't hear any complaints. How's that? No, I'm just kidding. I heard lots of complaints. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. If you want today's sermon notes, you can get them by texting notes to that phone number there, 217-9727. If you're like me and constantly in the world these days, every time I dial a phone number, it gives me the recording. State law now requires you to dial the area code. So anybody tired of hearing that, or is it just me? I'm never going to get used to that. It took me 15 years to not just dial the 5-digit number, to dial the 7-digit number. Maybe by the time I die, I'll remember to dial the area code. But send that back here, and then, or you can just scan the QR code and you'll get the same information notes for what's going to be talked about today for you to take with you throughout the week, and just to kind of contemplate on those, study through those, refer back to those. We want to start today this idea of same God. And what does that mean for us as we live out our faith in Christ Jesus in community and individually? I want to spend the next few weeks talking about this idea of same God, because I think we need to have a renewed understanding and foundation of who God is. It sounds very elementary and it sounds very easy, but if it were so, we wouldn't be having the arguments in the world that we're having about who God is. I want to show you that God is, okay, present tense, always present tense. God is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. And that's the title of today's topic, is how that sameness, that same God, is the God that's always been. Because the reason we need to have this conversation is because in culture right now, and it has been for the last 5-10 years, and certainly longer than that, but really coming to us in our community, that God, according to culture, is not the same. That God has changed, and that scripture that applied long ago does not apply today. And certainly, if that's the case, then something's going to change and it's not going to apply tomorrow. And I'm telling you, none of that is true. What is true yesterday is true today and will be true tomorrow when it comes to scripture and it comes to God. Because many of us have heard that even like in the Old Testament, the God of Moses, right, is not the same God that Jesus talks about. Okay, and if you want to talk to somebody else, the God of Christ in the New Testament, when he left and went to heaven, or wherever somebody says he went, then we have this new understanding even today. That is not true. Same yesterday, today, as he is tomorrow. The same God that gifted us with the Ten Commandments is the same God that is talking to us about the Holy Spirit, that is living in us through his Holy Spirit. All is the same. And so I want to try to solidify that for us. Because I do think eventually you're going to have at least one conversation with someone about this. It might be in your family, it might be at school, it might be at work, it might be an argument in your own head when something doesn't go your way or when something does go your way. I don't know where it's going to be, but I would think that we are all going to have at least one conversation, at least in our lifetime, about this idea. And so to do this, I want to jump into Hebrews chapter 13, skipping to verse 5 through 9, and talking and going from there. It says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Big old question mark. Remember, those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who have served the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin and and burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So I'm going to stop right there. See, what we need to see is that the God of yesterday, okay, the one that's talking about these sacrifices, is the same God of today that we talk about has sacrificed for us, is the same God of tomorrow that his sacrifice is still good. None of that changes for any of us, okay? As a follower of Jesus, we have to understand this God, who he is. And that sounds so easy, but it really is very complicated. It really is so complicated, but it really is so simple. And so as we go through life and we go through this journey of faith, he's going to reveal himself to us. The full revelation of God is here. I just can't see all of it. You see part of it. I see part of it. It continues to be revealed as time goes on to each and every one of us, and we have a new and complete understanding, a more complete understanding of who God is. Now then, just because we have a new understanding doesn't mean that he has changed in any of that, okay? He wasn't one person one day, and then because we have a new understanding, he's different the next. No, he is the same. Somebody asked me a couple of months ago about just our community of faith. They said, when did we start believing so-and-so? We have believed in the Trinity of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, since way before I was around, okay? If you want to go all the way back to when our church was founded, not just our campus, but our community of faith called St. Luke's back in the 1950s, I could say it at least started then. Okay, this idea is not new for us. And you're saying, somebody didn't know that we believed in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, somebody didn't understand that. It doesn't mean that we just started believing in it. It just means that they just now came to an understanding of it because maybe of something they were taught, and then they heard something we said, and then all of a sudden their ideas changed, their understanding of who we are changed. And so that's the way God works. He hasn't changed, but our understanding of life as we go changes. To live as a follower of Jesus is to know God and to be better at life as we learn who God is. And to know that really is this idea of who he is in us, because the first thing I want to talk to you about is God is powerful. His understanding, his character, and our understanding of him is that he is infinitely powerful. okay? And so for all of us, some of you grew up in a very traditional background. Some of you grew up in the United Methodist Church. Some of you grew up in some other denomination. Some of you were non-denominational. And so when I talk to you and I say the word creed, some of you are going to go, what in the world is that? In some traditional settings, not just United Methodist, but a lot of settings, there's this creed called the Apostles' Creed. Just for my own benefit, how many of you know what the Apostles' Creed is, or you grew up saying the Apostles' Creed? A lot of us did, and a lot of us didn't. What I want to say about a creed is the Apostles' Creed has been around since at least about 180 years after Christ was with us on earth. That's not very long in the grand scheme of things. This whole idea of an understanding of we need to have a doctrine, a saying, something that we can recite to say what we actually believe started shortly after Christ died, shortly after he was resurrected, shortly after he went to heaven. And then about somewhere around 700 years after Christ, it got put in a form that we can recognize today as the Apostles' Creed. And so I want to read it to you. It's been kind of used as a guide for some. It's been used to correct bad theology. It's been used to kind of solidify our faith, to give us a foundation. If you know the creed and you want to say it, that's great. I'm going to do it really fast because there's a lot here that I want to talk about today. And so keep up, all right? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Now, some of you are going to go straight to third day he rose from the dead. In the very traditional version, in the very early days, we have to say that he ascended into hell. See, he went there to fight for us. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead. And he ascended into heaven. It sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I believe in the communion of saints. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the life everlasting, right? And when we hear that, we also, some say we believe in the resurrection of the body, which is the way I grew up understanding it. So when you hear that, that is the full theology. That is the full biblical theology that we believe in as the body of Christ, at least here. Not everybody believes all that. That's part of the reason we have voted to leave the United Methodist Church, because some of that is going away. Yes, there are people in leadership in the United Methodist Church that don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know how they get to that, but they don't. And so there's just so much more to that. Now listen to me. The Apostles' Creed has no authority by itself. Okay, I could make up a creed right now and it would have absolutely no authority unless it reflects Scripture. Okay, and so we have to understand that it's a no-brainer to know that this creed really is a reflection of what God says about himself, what God says about who he is, what God says about Christ, what God says about the Holy Spirit, what God says about our relationship with him. So that's where I want to start today, is this idea of look how it starts. I believe in God the Father, right? Maybe you heard, I believe in God Almighty, the Father, maker of heaven and earth. See, he's all powerful. He is the creator of not just of some things, not just of a few things, not just of maybe you or of me, but of all things. And in that power, he gives us his grace and his mercy. And in that power, he shows us his love for us as well. This idea of the same God that created the stars, the same God that created the universe, the same God that created earth, and the same God that created you and I is the same God that is alive and well today inside each and every one of us and in the world. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. And he will still be the same long after you and I are gone, until Jesus comes back and takes everybody to heaven that calls upon his name as Lord and Savior. To know God, you have to believe in who he says he is. Not pick and choose. Okay, not just pick that he's a loving God and a merciful God, okay, but you also have to pick that he can be a wrathful God and that he is a disciple. He is a God that disciplines. He's a disciplining God. He's both because he loves us, because he's powerful, because of who he is. That's our understanding. Okay, God gives us the ability in two ways in Scripture, in two ways for us. He gives us intellect and he gives us a soul. He gives us a mind and he gives us a heart. He gives us the ability to reason in our mind about who he is, even though it's super hard to wrap our minds around. But he also gives us a heart and a soul that we can work that out in our daily lives. That what we understand about who God is gives us the tools to live today. To understand that God is loving and caring and merciful should allow me to be loving and caring and merciful to you. God's discipline in my life ought to help me be reasonable and discipline you in your life when you stray or when you don't do it the way God asks you to do it. And we do that back and forth constantly over and over and over again. And because think about it. If you don't do both, if you don't have your mind and your heart connected to God, there's a whole list of things in my mind that I know I should do. You've got them, I've got them, and I don't always do them. But what comes out of my heart, that's the actions of my day. That's the direction of my life. And so if those two don't connect, if those two are in sync with each other and with God, then I'm always in a fight. I'm always fighting what I think I should be doing. I'm always fighting about who I think God should be or where he is. We need to have those in sync. And so, not that we're just looking to a creed about who God is, things that we wrote down about what Scripture says. Let's look at what Jesus says, okay? In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, he talks about the way that we should pray. Okay, I know that we've turned this into the Lord's Prayer, and we've made it a kind of a ritual. We've made it a tradition. We've made it a responsive reading. We've done all these things. If you grew up in the South, you probably have a bookmark that's the Lord's Prayer, right? You probably got one when you graduated high school. I mean, you can tell where I grew up, and. Well, you learned it in Sunday school, you learned it in children's worship, it may have been in a Sunday school class, I don't know, but the Lord's Prayer really does just reveal to us who God is as Jesus talks not just to him, but about him and describes him to us. He says, he says this, let me get to it, pray, okay, it says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Some of you have learned, please forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. I'll talk about that in just a moment. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. For we say, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What I want you to hear is not only is God intensely powerful, okay? He created the heavens and the earth, that he's this idea of this relationship that we have with him. But it's also reflected in his personal touch with us. His encounter with us on a daily basis. Every prayer, every creed, any theology that we write down, all of that is absolutely worthless if it does not reflect the Father, if it does not reflect the God that was the same yesterday, that's the same today, that will be the same tomorrow. And here's how you can think about it. Even your life, your creeds, whatever, if you say the Apostles' Creed, or if you recite the Lord's Prayer, or how you live your life each day, if it does not reflect God, if it does not point back to God, then it is not accurate. It is not the same as God. It is not the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It is different. And if it's different, it's not holy, because holy means that we're set apart. We're different than the rest of the world. We're who God has called us to be. Think of it. Think of a prayer. Think of the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or any other creed. Think about your life just for a minute and imagine any of those are the moon up in space. Okay? And so the moon is just a rock. It's a really big rock, but it's just a rock. And it's just floating in orbit up there. It has no power. It's got no energy. It has no heat. It doesn't generate any light. It doesn't do anything. It's just there. We call it a moon. We can call it a prayer. We can call it a creed. We can call it life. But the way we know the moon is there, the way we get the idea that the moon is beautiful, the way that we get the idea that the moon is something that is to be seen is because it reflects what? The sun. It reflects the light. It doesn't give out its own light. It only reflects light. It doesn't give out any heat. I know we don't feel it, but it does reflect heat because the heat of the sun bounces off of it. It doesn't do anything on its own, okay? No creed can do anything on its own. No prayer can do anything on its own. You in your life cannot do anything on your own without reflecting the glory of the Father, without reflecting the glory of the Son, without reflecting the glory of the Holy Spirit. The moon does not reflect anything. And by the way, okay, think about this. It doesn't, all it does is just reflect. It doesn't interpret the rays of the sun. Amen. Y'all are going to love this. It doesn't decide if it's going to reflect whatever's coming at it from the sun that day based on how it feels. It doesn't decide that I'm not going to direct that this way today. I'm going to shoot it off another way, and I'm going to send the reflection in a different direction. No, it just goes the way that it's situated. It goes the way that God has placed it in the universe, and it just does what it does. See, it has no free will. We, on the other hand, have free will. And we do, because of our free will, we do try to decide which way we're going to reflect, which way we're going to interpret, which way we're going to do, all of those things. I just wish every once in a while, I don't know about you, I wish that I didn't have that free will, and I wish God to say, here's what you do today, just go and do it. I would love to have that, but that's not the way that He created us. He created us as His people, but His people with choice. And so as we are in, He is intensely powerful, and He allows us to live this life. Think about who He is. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, right? Okay? Look at the way Jesus talked about Him. He goes, hallowed be your name, revered be your name, just your name. Not anything else that you've done, just who you are. Conceived by the Holy, He created Christ just by His thought through the Holy Spirit inside Mary. Powerful. They killed Jesus and He came back to life. Powerful. He defeated hell and death. Powerful. He took the keys of hell and death and conquered sin. Powerful. See, we can't do any of that. Sometimes I like to dream that I can do some of that, but I can't do any of that. And you can't do any of that. You can't save me. Only God can. I can't create anything out of nothing, but God can. And so He's intensely powerful, but He's also intimately personal. And this is where we have this conversation with God over and over again, and He has this conversation with us. Give us this day our daily bread, okay? Now, hear me. It's not give me this day everything that I want. Just give me this day in what I need. God knows, we've talked about this. It's a sermon. We've done it. You can look it up online. Look it up on our website. I'm not going to go back into it again. But it's better that God gives us what we need than what we ask for. Amen? I'm just going to say it for you. Amen. Because if He gives me everything that I ask for, then He really isn't a loving, personal God. Okay? Now, I don't know what your relationship is with your own parents growing up or whatever it might be, but I'm just going to say, and I may step on some toes, and we were not good at it all the time either. In fact, you know, probably in the last 3 months of Macy being home before she went to college, we tried to fix everything that we did wrong in the 18 years before. Anybody been with me? Yeah. It did not go well. I mean, you just, You can't fix all that. It's like people when they want me to do a funeral and they want me to fix everything that's wrong with their family after this person's died. I'm like, it's a little late. And it's the same, okay? And so this idea of him being in intimately personal, he doesn't give us everything we ask for. That's not a loving God. That's not an all-powerful God. He has to show some restraint. He wants to give you everything. He wants to lavish you. Scripture even uses the word lavish you with his grace and his mercy. But to do that, he says no every once in a while. To do that, he has to refrain from giving us everything that we ask for. And if that's not the way that you treat your children, well, then I'm not here to give you parenting advice, but it's not helping them any. Okay, and so when we do that, I mean, that's like having an argument with your three-year-old about what's wrong with your car. It's not going to happen, okay? You may think your three-year-old is really smart, but they're not that smart, okay? And so that's like us having this argument with God of why I need so-and-so and him going, you really don't need that. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. He goes, no, you really don't. But here's what you need. See, give us this day our daily bread. King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 30, 7 through 9, and Solomon, smart guy, he said this, two things I have asked you. Do not refuse me before I die, these two things. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, so that I will not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? And that I will not become impoverished and steal and profane the name of God. See, Solomon knew he was not smarter than God. I wish that I could know every day that I'm not smarter than God. And just do what he asked me to do and to consult him before I do anything. But instead, I have this list of what I think is right. I have a calendar full of all these things that I need to be doing, and God is saying, no, you need to be doing these things. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing this. No, I need to win the lottery. How many of you bought a lottery ticket when it got to, $48 trillion last month? I don't know what that was. It was a lot. Billions. Okay? So did I. Because I went, well, you know, why not? I could just think of all the great things I could do with the money. And then when we didn't win, I know this is not the way it works, but it's the way my mind works. God goes, yeah, I told you didn't need that in the first place. You just wasted $3. See, I don't know everything that I need. I know everything that I want, and I just have to trust that God, who's the same yesterday, who knew what was right for me in the beginning, knows what's right for me today, and knows what will be right for me tomorrow. And it's all based on his love. It's all based on Scripture. Because I do know how many of you have had more than you've ever needed, and you just kind of squander that away, right? It goes to waste, and you're not good stewards of it, or whatever it might be. See, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, if we have extra, we're supposed to share that with others. We're supposed to be good stewards of that and promote the kingdom with that. That's a different sermon for a different day. But when we think about his intimate, personal touch to us, how is it with you and your soul with him? Do you just think that he's all-powerful and you have no relationship? Or do you have you think he's all touchy-feely, but you don't really revere his power? See, you have to have both. You have to have this idea that he is... you have to have both of those held in tension with each other, because one is not good without the other. And forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Why is it translated that way? Why does the Greek talk about debt and debtors instead of trespasses and those who trespass against us? Because trespasses, people that do stuff against us, those are all acts of commission. Those are things that we do to each other. I hate to tell you this, but you can sin without doing something. And you're like, dang it. You can sin without doing something. There are sins of omission. God has told me to do many things many times, and I didn't do them, and that was a sin against him. And it could have been an act or something for somebody. It could have been a conversation that he and I were supposed to have. But this idea of debts and debtors really talks about this vertical relationship and our horizontal relationship. Our debt and debtors, okay, that's our relationship with Him, okay? And then our debt is our relationship with Him. Our debtors are our relationship with each other. Because when I think about just the sins of commission, I really avoid all the other sins that I think about. I really avoid all the other ways in which I sin. Well, I didn't really kill that person. But boy, I thought of 100 ways to do it. Oh, y'all have done the exact same thing. If you drove more than 3 blocks in Lubbock, Texas, right? See, that's where this idea of His personal nature to us, He knows us. He knows us. And let me just say this, that there is no sin either way. Okay, there's no vertical sin to God that's just against God that doesn't affect our horizontal relationships. Maybe this needs to be a sermon one day. There's no sin that's horizontal that's just in our relationships that doesn't affect you and God. All sins work both ways. Whether I sin against one of you, it affects my relationship with God. If I'm sinning against God, it affects my relationship with you. There is always collateral damage in every sin. Always. Not just with us, but with God Himself. And that is very, very personal to Him. And lead us not into temptation. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation, right? There's no temptation that has overtaken you, which is, but is such as common to everybody else. There's nothing new, right? I had to laugh. Robin laughed too. And when we were moving Macy into the dorm, she was ready to be done, you know, just throw it all in the room and just leave because she had things to go and do. And as we were, I mean, we hadn't been there, I don't know, 2-3 hours. And she said, she goes, how long did it take y'all to move into the dorm when y'all moved into the dorm, you know, 100 years ago? I'm like, Macy, it just takes time. I'm ready to go. I know, you're ready to go. But if you don't know where your underwear are tomorrow, it's going to be a problem, right? If you leave this stuff out that goes in the refrigerator, it's going to be a problem. It's this temptation to just want to go is not uncommon to all of us. It's a common thing, and Jesus knows. God knows. And the best part about the personal nature of God is He knows what you need in your temptation. Because, listen to me, all of our temptations are different. There are some things that are going to tempt me that are not going to tempt you, and vice versa, okay? If I had gone to Stripes this morning and somebody in the parking lot approached me and said, hey, do you want to do a hit of meth before you go to church today? That is not going to affect me whatsoever. That is not going to tempt me. I'm not going to have to make a pros and con list in my head. I'm not going to have to think about that at all. One of you are online or here today. I don't know. That might be, you might really have to go, oh, that's such a temptation. Because I used to be so addicted. And we're all different. And He knows. And when we say, lead us not into temptation, He's not leading us there, okay? God is never going to tempt us. What it's saying is, you, God, show us the way out when we are tempted. God gives us, there is an exit ramp for every temptation that says, go this way, okay? How many of you are old enough to know Wile E. Coyote and the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show? Oh, good, there's enough of you to make this relevant. You know, when the coyote's chasing the roadrunner, right? When Wile E. Coyote's chasing the roadrunner and he's setting up all the traps for the roadrunner, you know, my favorite one is he puts a sign in the road and is like, free bird food, you know, to get the bird to stop, to get the roadrunner to stop and eat it. See, every temptation, Every sin that's out there, everything that's before you, the God that is the same yesterday that gave us all the reasons not to do this and that gave us a way out when he gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments and he said, and Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. That God is the same as the same today and where he's given us a way out and he'll be the same tomorrow when the next temptation comes. And it's always an off-ramp from the sin. I don't always choose it. Sometimes because I'm going so fast that I don't even see it, but it was there. It's always there. He always gives us an eject button to get out of the situation. We just don't always choose it, and he knows it. And he says, Matt, here's what you're tempted by. Go this way. Don't go over there, right? Don't do this. Don't hang out with them. Don't whatever. This is how our lives are. Lead us not into temptation, because he's so personal. And then he says, deliver us from evil, or the direct translation, deliver us from the evil one. Now then, intensely powerful God and an intensely personal God has already defeated Satan. I just want you to know that. There's no fight left. There's no war that has to go on. There's all these skirmishes and there's all these little battles. But the treaty has already been signed. God has already been victorious. It's a done deal. But in our lives, all these little skirmishes still happen. The war is over. He's defeated. In Scripture, it is so clear over and over again. And I know for us, we don't see it in the world because we have movies about Satan and demons and scary shows. And we write great novels and great books about Satan and all the power that he has and everything. I say it at least once a week that Satan has zero power. Zero power. He cannot make you do anything, and he cannot do anything to you, okay? He has zero power. But what do? We have the movies where, you know, he's all powerful and he's doing things and things are spinning around the room and you know these movies. I mean the priest comes in or whoever comes in and they've got the stake in their hand and they've got their cross and they've got their Bible and they do all things and you know what's gonna happen to them every time, right? They're gonna die. That's just the way it happens in the movies. But for us, it's not true. All Satan is a little yappy, muzzled dog nipping at our feet all the time. Just this little yappy, I'm not going to disparage anybody's dog, but just this little whatever it is, just constantly. But in God's eyes, though, he's not been let loose on us. He's been captured. He's been defeated. He's got a muzzle on, and he's got a chain on, and he's got a collar on, and he's not been freed on us that call upon the name of Jesus, right? We know how this ends. All Jesus has to do, I mean, he just has to say, hey, Satan, I am, and then the whole battle's over. That's how easy it is for him, but we make it so complicated. We want to try to interpret things in different ways, and we want to try to explain things in different ways, and we want to try to make everybody feel good about themselves and their sin and in their iniquities and however they're living their lives, or everybody's okay, you can just believe what you want to believe, but it's not true. That's the yappiness. That's the things that the world wants to tell us. And here's what's so great about it is, it's our free will, once again, where Scripture tells us you can do anything you want. Isn't that great news? I love, this is the best part. I mean, this would get everybody to church, right? You don't have to worry about anything in life. You can do anything you want to do. Do y'all know that this is true? You don't? You can do anything you want to do. You can absolutely do whatever you want in life. But Scripture says that not everything is good for you. Not everything is beneficial for you, because you can't see the outcome all the way down the road. You can't see 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 eternity years. You can't see how the collateral damage happens to everybody, not just yourself. And Scripture's also clear. Listen, I'm going to finish up with this. This idea of the same God is that, here we go. Do not be carried away. Isn't it funny how Scripture anticipated this in the day for not only them, but for us? How when this was being written, it was already happening, and God knew it was going to happen for us. Do not be carried away by varied, I love this, this is not my word, this is God's word, strange teachings. There are lots of strange teachings out there. There's lots of varied different ways to say, well, this is who God is, and this is not who God is, and all this stuff. Folks, Scripture is the final word and authority on who God is. That's the only one. Not me, not anybody else. Scripture is the final word. Do not be carried away by all these other teachings. And I know culture is trying to push us that way. Culture wants us to be the all-embracing and all-encompassing lover of everybody's soul. And guess what? We should be. But we also need to hold everybody accountable, because the God of yesterday and the God of today and the God of tomorrow has always held us accountable as followers of Christ. Always. And we will be. And look at this in 2 Timothy. It said, for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Boy, we're seeing that all the time, where we say, well, this is what Scripture says. There was a person at a leadership meeting in the denomination a while back. He literally said, he goes, we don't refer back to Scripture as the last word on anything. That is insane. That's the people, leadership in the church saying this. You talk about strange doctrine, you talk about strange teachings, that's the only place I want us to go back to. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers, right? People who agree with them, and to say what their itching ears want to hear. I don't like it when people hold me accountable, and I know you don't like it when people hold you accountable, but what happens is, when we don't, we allow each other to turn away from truth. We allow each other to walk away from what God has called us to. We allow us to not believe that the God of yesterday is our God today, and that the God that we have today is going to be the God that the next generation has and the next generation has. So in the next several weeks, that's what I want us to talk about. I want to talk about who God is. But we're also going to talk about who God is not. Sometimes the only way we get to know who God is by realizing who He is not, right? Sometimes in relationships, we have these preconceived ideas, and then certainly we find out that's not who we thought we knew. See, there's some of that going on in the church. There's some of that going on in culture. And so for us, the God that is the same yesterday is the same today, and it's going to be the same tomorrow. And for you and your relationships, that's the God you need to trust. Because everything else, even Scripture says, is like shifting sand. The tides and the winds of culture and of the world change over and over and over again, but God does not change. And that's where I want to count. That's where I want to build my foundation. That's where I want you to build your foundation. And let me tell you, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. It is a simple solution, but it's not easy. We have to wrestle with this. And so as we do, as you wrestle with it, I would love to have your questions. I would love to have these conversations. Email me, text me, come by, call me, whatever it is. And let's find the common ground of Jesus Christ. Let's find the common ground of who God says He is. Let's find the common ground of the Holy Spirit leading us in this conversation. Lord, today, I just want us to start. Lord, I want us to start by saying, Lord, we believe You. We believe in who You say You are. Lord, we believe in who You have revealed Yourself to be through Christ. And we believe in how You continue to live in us and show us the way through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we believe. So Lord, I even in our doubts, even in our questions, even in our confusion, in our misunderstanding, even in our own lack of knowledge, our lack of wisdom, our lack of understanding, Lord, I pray that we will just continue to proclaim the truth in our own lives. Continue to proclaim it day after day, to not just ourselves, but in our families and to our children. Lord, that we would be the children of the God who remains the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.